Good morning and good afternoon. Thank you for joining me on the very first episode of Face to Face Talk Show for the new year for 2021. We're doing things a little bit different, but as always, we're having a very interesting, stimulating conversation. And the topic of today's show, I usually don't have a topic, but I'm just going to say today's topic is what is going on in America. And I think that's what everybody wants to know. What the heck is going on? And we're going to talk about that with all of our guests, but I want to introduce my co-host, Mr. Paul Foss. How are you?
I'm outstanding. I just saw your attitude this morning, so I had to go get a cup of coffee so I could try and catch up to you because you seem going.
I've been asleep for like three weeks, Paul.
My new home of face-to-face, so I'm getting it all decorated now.
I like that. Where's the pictures on the wall? Where's the messages? Where's the don't change your life, you are something great that's always here?
I have someone coming tomorrow to plan out the hanging of everything. I'm not that handy. And I got someone coming over. We're going to map out all the artwork, the pictures. I've only been here a few weeks, so I'm getting all organized.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Thank you for joining me, Paul. Just want to briefly introduce each guest, and then we're going to start the conversation and answer the question, what is going on in America? I want to introduce Mr. Ari Baum. Good morning, Ari. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How you doing today?
Excited to have you here. Thank you for joining the show. Chandra Gore, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I always love when you're on the show. I love your smile. And you know what I love about you?
What?
You're dangerously intelligent.
That is, yes, I am. With a smile.
Thank you for joining us. I want to introduce Mr. Salim Bey. Salim, how are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year and salam to everybody. I'm great. Thank you for letting me be here.
Absolutely. Salam to you. Lanika, Shelly, Happy New Year. Thank you for hanging in there with us. You joined us last year. Thank you for coming back.
Happy New Year to everyone. Thanks for having me. I want to say peace and blessings to everyone.
Yes, thank you. And I always tell people, you know, I say a lot of things. I have absolutely no idea what I'm going to say, but I do have checks and balances when I say something or if I'm saying it the right way or whatever I'm going through. I have my own personal therapist, not only in my personal life, but I bring my therapist on the show to make sure I'm not out of line. My dear friend, Raylene Taylor, how are you, honey?
I am great. How's everyone doing right now? I hope 2020 brings lots of joy to us and just be radiant.
Be radiant okay. In 2021.
Radiant, you get it, Raylene, radiant?
Yes. We just got this
class. Now I do. And my dear friend, I love bringing all my friends together because that's how I feel safe. I don't feel like they're going to abuse me and get mad and start rioting and stuff. My dear friend, I love her to death. I'm on a mission right now to bring this woman to California. If she's in California, we are taking over the world. Torin Lee, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, everybody. Thanks for having me, Sharifa. Good to see you.
It's good to see you. I'm so excited. I love when you're here. And I want to introduce a new friend of mine, someone I just met. And I saw his bio, I saw his image, and I was like, yes, I would love to have him. I don't know what just happened.
I just said he's amazing. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Are you his PR representative?
No.
Not yet.
I'm yours.
That's right. But everybody don't need to know you how I get famous. You know what I mean? Mr. Eric Rittmeyer. Good morning, Eric. How are you?
Sharifa, I'm dangerously unintelligent. I'm so happy to be here.
You sound like Paul now. What is dangerously unintelligent?
I don't know, but I know what dangerously intelligent is, and that's just not me. So I got the good hair gene. I did not get the high IQ stuff. So it's all good, though.
I love it. Love it.
Okay. Well, since you started off the conversation with all that personality, I'm going to ask my first question. What is going on in the world, Eric?
Oh, my goodness. How long do we have for the show, Sharifa? Do we have a few hours?
1 hour.
So it's
what?
Okay. I do a lot of media. I do a lot of television on this. And I can tell you my take on the problem with our nation. We are intoxicated in emotion currently. So logic and emotion are inversely related. So as you become more emotional, you become less logical. When you get to a point where you're so overcome with emotion, you're incapable of logical thought processes. That's where we are right now. Our nation is incapable of anything logical. Everything's driven by emotion. We're allowing our hearts to supersede our eyes. So it's a problem. It's an issue. Until we sober up and start viewing things based on fact and not a feeling that we have that's normally not tied to anything that even substantiates the beliefs we have, until we can get off that intoxication, we're going to continue down this road of fabricated hate, anger, assuming the worst intentions in people. We have to sober up. It's all about getting control of our emotions.
All right. So let me jump in, Eric, because I think that's where the topic needs to go. When you talk about logic versus emotion, let's throw out there the elephant in the room that's probably not an elephant in the room. To impeach or not to impeach? Is an impeachment of Donald Trump an emotion and enough already, and let's get the impeachment done because it's emotional, or this is the right logical choice based on what was done? And I think that that's what we're watching now, literally as we have this show. Yep. It's on in the other room, the vote. And is it being done symbolically because they've wanted to impeach since he was voted in? Or is this the right move and are we doing something to move the country forward? And I think that can carry us for the next 7-hour conversation.
Well, it all goes down to prioritizing the issues we're having right now. I personally believe there are much larger issues at hand right now. We have people that are out of work. We have a pandemic. We have people dying. We have people at each other's throats when they don't need to be. So when we talk about impeachment, it's the priority list. It's like number 82,000 on the priority list. Why are we putting, it's like when they tried to impeach him last time. We had coronavirus ripping through this nation. We put so much mental energy towards us that we didn't see what was hitting us dead over the head. He's got a couple days left in office. Let it go. Let's move on. Let's start unifying instead of continuing to divide.
Don't let it go.
No, so the important question is for everybody, if we didn't have coronavirus, if we didn't have anything else, let's take it in its silo. Forget what's going on. Yes, I believe we need to get the vaccine out quicker and we got to get stimulus checks. But let's put those aside. Based on actions and actions alone, should he be impeached?
No.
Because, yes.
I agree of Congress and the Senate needs to be spent. Like, we have people going out of business. We have people dying. I get it. But if that wasn't there, the facts remain. Should he be impeached for what he's done or should he not? Yep. Then we could address priorities in time. How much time is it going to take away? But I think people can't hide behind we're too busy. Should he be impeached? What do you know? I'm curious what everybody thinks.
Yes.
Well, let's turn your hands to the question.
Yes, he should be, because of the fact of he created the lackluster response to coronavirus. Like, let's not glaze over the fact that he didn't believe that it was a thing and he got rid of the actual department that would have handled, you know, the spread of this virus. So this is what I'm saying. He's culpable for all of these things. I know coronavirus is we're in a pandemic. So at the same time, he didn't do anything at the beginning to stop it. He didn't put everything in place as everyone was saying to do. And he created this the people who follow him, they believe that it was a made up virus and all of this other stuff. And it wasn't until we had significant death and all of the pushback that he did something. He responded, you know. So this is what I'm saying. Like, his actions have caused this ripple effect, and then the coup that happened.
And let's not forget what America is designed of. We are procedural, rule oriented, right? Like, there are rules and procedures that need to be abided by in government. Yes, there is an emotional component that is happening now, but let's get to the procedural component, the rules, the amendments that we are obligated to as Americans. And I truly believe that if Donald Trump was Obama, he would have been impeached a long time ago.
He would have been in office.
So for me, it's about following what America is premised on.
So
Well, the question is,
that's defined at the premise.
All right. The question is, do we just say he's out in a week and good riddance and be gone? Why waste or spend time? Or is it more important for history?
For history purposes. No one could come in the office and do the mess that he did, because the reason why everything happened the other day, where they had the Blue Lives Matter with all of these people, they were attacking the main people that they said that they were protecting. So this is what I'm saying. Like, all of these things, like, he encouraged this mess.
No,
you cannot be a sitting president and encourage the mindless activity. And I don't... I'm speaking from facts. You have people who are sitting in the Senate and the Congress who actually are pushing and enabling this. So I'm saying, you have a president, we love you, we don't need the violence. Like, come on now, that's basically telling them, you know, you're not condemning them for their actions. Like, that,
that's what I'm hearing so far is a lot of emotion. And if you look at what Eric was talking about before, we're bringing up emotion. Now, we're not bringing up fact. Now, the president, we're dealing with, no. Now, I'm going to tell you, because I studied the Constitution, I studied law, I'm going to tell you exactly what it is. All right?
You're right.
So
you're right.
When narratives are pushed, that's the dangers of it. Now, if we're looking at narratives and we're looking at the procedural process of the United States, I have to go with Miss Raylene, because if Obama had did anything like that, the perception of a black man doing something equal to a white man would have been done something different.
Of course.
But let's look at the fact. The narrative on CBS, NBC, and all these news stations are saying that President Trump got up there, got 10,000 people in D.C. with arms to overstand the Capitol. Now, we're not going to talk about all the people that I know in D.C. that were getting emails about this long time ago. They're not talking about the fact that they already knew they were. Wait. They're not talking about the fact that they knew that these people were armed.
Correct.
What I'm saying is that if you look at the thing, if you look at everything that happened, there is something deeper going on that Trump or no other president has the power for. Now, when we're talking about health and medicine, did these same people not get on Obama for acting so fast on Ebola? So it's not anything that just the president does, it's the administration. So if I got to hold Donald Trump responsible, then I got to hold Nancy Pelosi responsible about the stimulus stuff. Then I got to hold Fauci responsible for all the stuff that they done in pharmaceuticals. I think that we get into an emotional standpoint and then we only look at that and we're driven off the hypersensationalism that the media gives us. Because if we're looking at it, the president or nothing like that should be even a topic. He's out in a couple of days. What are you
going to
somebody that's getting ready to leave? I mean, that's like putting a 2 weeks notice in after you've already quit.
A lesson has to be taught. Nah.
Let me jump in with one quick thing here. I think what we have to consider, there's two parts for it, right? There's one part was, you know, did he commit a crime by inciting people to protest? I'm with you, you know. And, you know, I would say then the second part of the equation is, you know, with roughly 7 days left, you know, I think the House just voted about an hour ago to impeach. Now it has to go over to the Senate, right? I don't know if the new Senate is taking effect yet, where Democrats have the majority. You know, they just had their, you know, the runoff in Georgia. So I, you know, truthfully, I don't know if that happened. So I don't know if it's going to go anywhere within a week. The bigger question is, even if you did impeach him, yes, that's a nice kick out the door. The question is, what consequence would he have factually versus emotionally for the actions that he's taken? Does anyone have any insight on that?
He can no longer run for president for any other term.
I don't think he's gonna
respect that.
He's gonna be almost 80, I think, by that. Okay, but I'll put that out there. Okay, he wouldn't be able to run again. Okay, what else?
Impeachment is Amendment Number 25. It's the 25th Amendment. All right. And it has to deal with someone becoming an incumbent or somebody becoming in a leadership position for a prolonged time that you can handle these proceedings. The last one before Trump to handle these proceedings was Bill Clinton. Okay, so And did he still stay around in the White House? Did he still have influxes with Hillary running and everything like that? So impeachment doesn't matter. The problem that I'm still seeing is that no matter what is shown on TV, people are not going to look at the truth. They dislike Donald Trump. Therefore, he's wrong. Let's get him out of here. The problem with that is less emotion. I mean, more emotion equals less logic. What is the logical thing here? People are dying, right? There's been data that has been put up about cell phone use, bad electricity, all types of things that nobody ever wanted to do. They just want to look at it that coronavirus is this sickness. It's all these things that are emotional outputs that take us away from a logical standpoint.
What that is spot on.
The president, what does impeaching the president right now have to do with millions of people at risk, an economy shut down? Now, Nancy Pelosi couldn't get off her behind to do anything else with a stimulus. The videos are out there.
So she's the only one.
No, I'm just saying, if I take the top Republican and point everything to him, why can't I take the same blame?
They're both at fault. Because so let's get both of them.
They are not doing anything to help the bigger issue.
Right, but I think what a lot of people don't understand, because I've had this conversation, is they look at stimulus. Hey, we've got to get money out to people who are hurting. Yeah. And on the surface, that makes a lot of sense. I don't know anybody that would say, I disagree with helping Americans who are hurting. But what most people don't realize about the stimulus bill, which is what was actually voted on, is it also included tens of millions of dollars for gender programs in Pakistan, two museums. I don't understand why politics,
was a lot of pork.
It couldn't have been a vote on $2,000 to Americans or not. How we allow our political system to stuff in hundreds of millions of dollars that I have to vote on if I'm fundamentally opposed to $100 million to Pakistan for gender programs and $50 million for this, it's tough to vote on the stimulus. And I think it's something that the news doesn't talk about. They talk about this side's the stimulus package together, this side's blocking it. They don't talk about the other crap that's loaded in there. And I think that's the problem with our political system.
Sharifa, when are you going to be running for office so you can fix all this?
2024.
Yeah. Okay.
One vote.
So the line items that are in the bills, they're not going and showing that. You're right, Paul. They're not going and showing all of these things. The Smithsonian did not need that much money. You know, they didn't say, it makes no sense.
Right. But unfortunately, in our political system, we wind up fighting with each other over a position on a bill when you're only looking at the front of the building. I could agree with everything in the bill, but somewhere on the bottom, it could say, they're going to give money to rebuild the frog population in Wisconsin. And I could be so against that. So how do you vote for a bill? So we're arguing about things as citizens, as people who all want the best, but they pack this stuff with so much stuff that it's not fair. That's why I think the number one change in the political system is one issue, one bill, one vote. I could see where every single politician stands on every issue. You can't hide behind the pork in all these bills.
So that's why
I agree with it. I totally agree.
So that's why I think the key of what we're really asking and the topic and the word that sums all of that up is accountability. And that's the problem we have in American politics today on many sides, is a lack of accountability in all areas, by legislators, by citizens, for being educated, by many different sides. And until we fix that, we're going to be in this emotional spiral of lies and half-truths and people arguing over non-facts and misinformation and all of these things. So I agree, that would be great. Let's get that one bill, one vote.
I
also think it's pride in this country, because, and this is my opinion, if y'all call it intellect or emotion or a mixture of both, because I feel like it's a mixture of both, and you have to call it what it is. The people of America was so upset that a black man was in office that they would put a racist bigot in, and that's what happened. And this is all the spiral of that. Now, should he be impeached to set the tone back? I get that it is, halftime, and they might not be back in office till.
I don't know if I agree with that. I'm going to stop you there. I don't know if I agree with that, only because it's not like Obama wasn't reelected. So he got reelected, you know, into office for a second term. So I can't say that people were so upset
of him. He has been married three times. He has been, everything about him is not the typical, what the typical president would be. Every single thing about Donald Trump, from his filthy mouth to the stuff that he's done in college, his lack of intelligence, the fact that he's been married three times, all those kids, he has no political background. Everything about him screams non-president. And yet, y'all voted him in. Why? Because y'all was mad that a black president was in office for 8 years. And now they don't want to admit the pride is, y'all did this. Y'all did this, and now this is the result of y'all doing.
I want to respectfully push back on that, just on one little part of that. You know, I would say if Donald Trump was running against, you know, an African American, and then he won, I can relate to that argument, because you could, you know, if you want to say, look, people were, you know, a certain group of people were so against.
That's the second worst one.
No, I'm saying a certain group of people were against a black president, so they voted for Donald Trump. But Donald Trump was running against Hillary Clinton.
I don't know if
the argument that what you're saying is that people were so, for lack of a better term, turned off that there was a black president for 8 years, that they decided to go to the extreme opposite, because, you know,
race had nothing to do with it. Race had nothing to do with it. Zero.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, I'll put it to you like this. My personal opinion, I don't think anyone took Donald Trump seriously as he was coming up through the primaries. You know, he was more there just to, you know, get some extra publicity for Republicans. And it turned into something because he tapped into something that no other politician had.
Hate.
Two things that no other politicians had. Thank you.
The same thing Reagan and Clinton did.
I just wanted Ari to finish this point. Yes, go ahead, Ari. I think what he did was that he tapped into social media in a way that no other politician had ever done before. You know, for better or worse, his campaign tapped into Facebook and social media to connect with people in a way that no other politician did. Granted, Hillary made mistakes. She can go to Wisconsin and all that other stuff. But he did something that no one had ever done before. And I think that's
I would agree with you and disagree with you on a certain part. Yeah. So I want to hear that part. Yeah. Actually, Obama's social media campaign was the first time it was done through social media, and they're studying it in universities now on how he did it, and I'm studying it so that I can get into Senate. And what he did was go directly to the people. What Trump did that was different is he refused to allow them to take away his Twitter account. He didn't want to have to speak through someone else to say whatever it is that he had to say, which is why right now they have taken away his voice from every platform there is, because he can't talk directly to the people. So that's what he did that was different.
So Sharifa, let me ask you about that. So we took away Donald Trump's ability to speak on platforms because big tech now has the ability to censor who they want. Yet I see social media accounts that have Holocaust deniers, bigots, racists, anti-everything on social media, deniers of every cause you could think of, but a handful of big tech companies, three in particular, have decided that he shouldn't have a voice, and we're going to shut that down. But I can go there and find hate speech by dozens and dozens of other groups. Are we okay in this country where a small select people decide which voice gets heard, because that influences elections?
Yeah. Keyword. Let me answer that question, Paul. Yeah, I was about to say the same thing. Dangerously intelligent. He can still say whatever he wants to say from DonaldTrump.com. That's why whenever you see everything is through AskSharifa.com, you can shut down my Facebook. You can shut down my Twitter. You can shut down my YouTube.
They could shut down your website. They could shut down your web hosting.
That's web hosting, right? So how is GoDaddy going to shut down my voice? He still has a platform to talk. Parler. Those are third-party.
You can use your own server.
Yeah, are those there? Are.
But no. It's much bigger than that.
Yeah.
Because we know that most Americans are on a platform like Facebook and like Google. And if a handful of people at Facebook decide what news you see and don't see, if Google decides what ranks and doesn't rank,
which now, it does.
Now, everybody might be happy right now because it happens, those groups happen to be run by more left-leaning CEOs. What happens if hostile takeover some billionaires? Let's just go. And all of a sudden, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, and Google are run by far, far, far right conservatives, and they shut down every liberal or moderate voice. Boy, I believe the outrage would be much different.
Okay, so where was the outrage when they removed Farrakhan from social media?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's a violation.
I ain't seen nobody getting mad about that. I'm not saying that I agree with all his views, but he was politely removed.
No, that's a violation of your First Amendment. I don't think people are seeing the tendencies of it. Just because I don't like somebody doesn't mean that they don't have the right
to speak. Build your own platform.
It's not about building a platform. It's
about
what people are saying. What Paul is saying is this. All right. There was a group that Reagan started back in the day called ALEC. All
right. Right.
Is anybody familiar with ALEC?
Yes.
Okay. ALEC was a group of CEOs that got to sit down with the Senate and pass bills without anybody even talking about anything. They got to do that. So what Paul was talking about is the same thing with the voting legislation, how they tack on this to this to this to this to all this. The reason why it's happening is because Americans have gotten lazy. And I'm going to tell you why.
True.
Sit here and we will talk about Trump all day. We'll compare him to Obama all day. But we won't say nothing bad to Obama because Obama, we liked him. But he ain't do nothing for people that look like me. But that's beside the point.
Oh, he couldn't.
Yeah. No. I don't want to hear I couldn't or anything like that.
The president is not a unilateral decision maker.
It's not about that.
Obama had the Senate
don't
in the House.
Understand.
That's how he got Obamacare passed.
Obama had the leading of the Senate. He had the leading of the House. If you check Article 1 of the Constitution, the first part of the Constitution is putting the Congress together. That's it. That's who got the power. But we want to blame it on the president because we don't like him, or we do like him. So it's laziness, because what Paul is talking about is
build your own platform. Build your own platform.
But he go to platform. It go to thing. What if those same business people control how you do your platform?
That's spot on correct. That's exactly right.
Do people remember how the porn industry was fighting against the First Amendment?
Because they'll decide it doesn't live on their platform.
Wait, I have a quick question for everyone.
Does anybody remember what the porn industry was fighting against on the First Amendment back in the 90s? Who has a bigger platform than them? If they felt that the First Amendment was a violation, they was not looking at it emotionally. They was looking at it logically. And you're talking about sex workers.
Free world. Leader.
Okay.
Hold on. I want to hear Lamika.
He should be held to a standard that nobody has held him up to. If you was leader of the free world and you are the president and you are talking out the side of your crack, yes, pull you off. Because you know that what you're doing, one person, you and me, we're not going to speak to the masses. They're not listening to us. But are they going to listen to him? Yes. And is that what calls
Lamika?
Yes.
Lamika, who decides? The question is, who decides what about speaking out of the side of the crack? It's three companies. That's the issue. I'm not saying I like him, don't like him, agree with him. I don't care. I'm sitting in the middle.
I feel like that's what everybody in a world feels. Where
three companies decide who I hear.
Yeah, let me build on what Paul's saying.
Okay, I want to hear Ari.
So, but just by a show of hands, who here is happy that Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube and all the social media channels took Trump off their platform? Don't be afraid. You know, you're afraid. Now, let me ask you, for those that raise their hands, let me ask you this.
I don't follow him no way, so it don't matter.
Okay, no. Now, let me ask you this. For those that feel
the option of not listening to this bullshit.
So. Okay, wait. I'm just asking you this question. For those that feel that Twitter and Facebook made the right move, how do you feel about the fact that the Ayatollah in Iran consistently calls for the Jews to be, exterminated? And he has that platform. Why
they, they need to be removed too. I'm gonna tell you something. I got suspended and put on Twitter jail for telling somebody to kick rocks. So if I'm gonna get barred by telling somebody to kick some rocks or go play in traffic, then he and
with open toe shoes, okay.
There's a Twitter jail. I didn't even know there was a Twitter.
They do have a jail. It's next to Cuba.
Ari, I feel like that's a little bit unfair because you immensely brought up the Ayatollah and the Jews, and that was back in the 80s. But you
know, now,
no, it's right now.
Ayatollah Khomeini is dead.
Can I just say something? But if we're talking about
the Jews and all that with the Ayatollah and bringing it up, which I'm not saying that I condone that behavior, why are we not bringing up the president of Israel talking about he's going to kill all the Africans that was out there? If people are out there like that, even though if I don't agree with them,
nobody took them off. So this is the thing. I think what where the emotion comes in, because everyone looks at it through their lens, right? So I agree with you. You know, I think there should be a independent committee of sorts that sets certain standards. Just like you can't walk into a movie theater and scream fire, even though you have the right to free speech. I think that anyone that is calling for, you know, I'll call it extermination, hate, should be off of social media platforms. I don't, you know, I understand both sides of the equation of Trump. I understand, you know, there's one side that says, look, why him and not other people? On the same token, I understand the other side that says, you know, look, he's inciting people to do dangerous acts. I think we could all agree that if, regardless if you're the president or you're maybe not, it's not Ayatollah, whatever, but Khomeini in Iran or even Bibi Netanyahu, if anyone is calling for murder, injury, or harming other people, I think we could all agree at the baseline that should be banned, right?
I'm going to bring a full circle for you.
Now, if we could all agree with that as a baseline, you know, to say for people that cross that threshold, they should be banned. I think just like the stimulus package, it's the implementation that is uneven, right? They say ban Trump, but they don't ban someone else, right? They say, well, we want to give $2,000, but then we're giving something to with a gender something in Pakistan in the same bill. So I think what it all comes down to is how is it implemented and how is it enforced?
And see, here's the problem with that, because when you talk about big tech, you have Section 230. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah, and I agree.
You have Section 230, so it's all or nothing. When it comes to Facebook, when it comes to Twitter, it's all or nothing. Either you allow everything and you have zero liability on that, or once you start fact-checking, once you start shutting people down, you no longer are a platform. You're now a publisher, which makes you susceptible to lawsuits and everything else. Yeah. So it's all or nothing. Why is that important? Because it's dangerous. There's nothing Donald Trump said that incited violence. You can call it whatever you want to call it. Not a single word he said incited violence. Not a single word. Let me finish. If anybody listens and listens to the words he said and comprehend them logically, and you can talk to any legal mind, anyone on television right now, regardless of their party affiliation, will all agree there's not a single thing he said that incited violence. Should he maybe not have said whatever? He did not incite violence. You can look at any way you want to.
Logical mind. We're looking at people who were illogical and actually not thinking clearly.
The way you perceive it doesn't make it incitement. That's your perception of it.
Chandra, let me jump in for a second.
There was emails.
Eric, it's remember, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. And I think we've learned those lessons throughout.
But that doesn't make it illegal. Just because you perceive it a certain way doesn't make it illegal. He did not incite violence.
Read the script and show the words that incite violence.
Talk to any legal mind, we'll tell you.
All right, so wait, hold on. I'm supposed to believe that a billionaire with a great legal team, right? A billionaire with a great legal team got up there and committed treason. Okay, now everybody is, like I said, everybody hates Donald Trump, so anything he says is done with a grain of salt. Now, when mention. wait hold on when Obama backed Louis Farrakhan, there was backlash. When Louis Farrakhan was asked by Jesse Jackson in his campaign when he was running for president, there was backlash. Never any time was there any murder charges. But see, I'm gonna tell you why this narrative is so dangerous. Everybody is still saying that he got up there, and the reason why those 10,000 people were there was because of Donald Trump. When anybody in DC, anybody with facts knows, you can call my brother, you can ask anybody in DC. They had emails months ago. So there was
totally true. You're spot on, correct.
It was totally accurate. He said that day that had correct. Nothing to do with those people there. But
thank you.
Hold up.
I said what he said that day, but before that.
No, if he said all that, you mean to tell me that if the Democrats know that 10,000 people is coming up to overstand them, where was the National Guard? Where was the CIA? Where was the secret police? Where was all that stuff? Why are you helping terrorists? Why are you helping terrorists up the steps?
But I was because they're not labeled as domestic terrorists. They were rioters of all things.
I'm scared. I'm calling it what it is.
I'm calling it what it is.
I want to hear from Torin Lee.
So far, I believe this conversation is what's happening with America. And I go back to kind of what Ari was stating or trying to state. And what I said before is it's about accountability and us as a culture, society, deciding how to apply our Constitution. And it must be applied and accountability must be equal, okay? Regardless of whether you're the President of the United States or Torin Lee or Sharifa or Paul, okay? That's where it needs to be. So yeah, there are private companies that are doing this, but you can't go into a theater and scream fire, right? That's against the law. So we need our laws, I believe, to catch up. Now, there's a part two of this that we don't even have time in the 20 minutes of this panel to even get to, which is why none of our laws are applied equally. And that gets into race and gender and all these things that 400 years of history is not going to fix in a 25-minute discussion. But can we just start with, let's have some accountability in this situation for everybody involved in getting us here, you know? And that's all the people who were involved in the riots from the ground up, people who whatever. And I agree, if you're inciting any kind of violence on a public platform, to me, that's like the screaming fire in a theater, and I don't care who you are, you should be off.
Well, how are you going to have accountability in a society of privilege? And I'm not saying white privilege, I'm just saying.
That's my
point. I'm going to say it. So it was a lot of that privilege going on.
We got down people there that scream out here all the time about, oh, you need to support black businesses. You need to support black businesses, but they run and go get Nikes. We got all these things that go on. People live into this wish factor of like, oh, well, we need to do this and we need to do that. I agree with you, Ms. Torn. Accountability is something. Accountability is part of responsibility. Everybody needs to have that. But how are you going to have it when majority of the people are lazy? They don't want to do things
logic. I think that's an assumption. I think that's a generalization. I think that's an assumption to say the majority of the people are lazy. I think that's a generalization. And I love to see the best in people, that people are out there trying to make a difference, which is why they tune into shows like this and the other shows to learn about what they can do. I would never call people lazy.
I think they're the same.
Lazy. What I'm saying is America. All right. So if you take the times back in Reagan, people actually read the newspaper. They were actually informed. Nobody asked them to do that. They were informed.
It wasn't easy access.
Wait. Salim, I'm going to stop you there for one quick second because I just want to share an interesting fact. So I'm a financial advisor, right? And I had a client that was getting really nervous. He said, we're living in such a crazy day and age. We never experienced stuff like this before, right? Look at what the last 4 years as a microcosm, right? Racism, discrimination, and on the other hand, you saw a tremendous building of wealth, right? So that inequality, almost like the tale of two cities. And he's like, this is all going to blow up. It's becoming a melting pot, just like this conversation. Like the emotions are real and they're out there. No, I got my bike back here, so we get the endorphins. But I did some research, and I'm going to read to you very shortly some interesting facts. And you tell me if it sounds familiar to you, okay? John Adams, our second president, was reelected while serving 4 months in prison for violating the Alien and Sedition Act, which was about making it harder for aliens to become citizens. This was our second president. This is 100 and, you know, almost 200 years later that we're still dealing with immigration as an issue. And you had a vice president that was reelected while in prison. Aaron Burr, third vice president, arrested for treason, later acquitted. He was trying to seize part of the Louisiana Purchase for himself. Go figure. Rutherford B. Hayes resigned because of corruption. Harry Truman, he was charged with corruption. Richard Nixon, when he was a VP to Eisenhower, received $18,000 in gifts under the table. And that man ended up becoming a president that had to ultimately resign because of Watergate.
But Ari, that goes right back to Paul's statement. That's a few people who immigrated to this country and took over and made the laws the way that they were. Rutherford B. Hayes stopped the Freedmen's Bureau because they were allowed to do that. A select group of racists were allowed to stop the Freedmen's Bureau. You're talking about Harry S. Truman, when you're talking about all those guys, what color were they?
They were all white.
And that's a small group of people making a whole bunch of laws for everybody else.
What I would like to hear,
and I love that this is my show, is Ari, I didn't get your conclusion of what you were saying. That's why I wanted to hear, like, what was the point of the theme that you were making? I want to hear you.
The point and the theme is that corruption in this country is not anything new. We are experiencing it for the first time in our lifetimes. So we're magnifying it like it's the end of the world. And I could promise you this, whether or not, you know, Donald Trump is impeached in the next 7 days or not, as who is it? 1 second, I'm drawing a blank. You know, Morgan Freeman said it best, the bus runs every day. We're all going to have to get up and go to work tomorrow and continue living our life.
Correct.
The only takeaway we can get from this is the importance of voting. Right? Because otherwise you might have another four years of Donald Trump, right? For those that are against him. The importance of connecting with your local politician to make your voice heard. Paul brought up a very good point before about getting out there and, you know, one vote, one bill at a time versus all this other stuff. Talk to your local politicians, because we could all sit here and we can complain about it all day long. But you know what? While we're sitting here complaining about it, the rich get richer.
Can I say something? I have to just say this one sentence, which I think perfectly encapsulates this. And I deal with this all the time when I deliver my speeches, when I do my television programs, my radio shows. We have to stop assigning collective punishment for isolated guilt. Exactly. Meaning that we have to stop taking these situations that truly are exceptions and stop making them appear to be the rule. We have to stop assigning collective punishment for isolated guilt. If a police officer does something bad, let's say, it does not mean that the other 99.9999% of them are bad. So if we stop allowing ourselves to look at a select group, a very small outlier group of people who commit certain acts regardless, fill in the blank, the Capitol, police, racism, you name it, whatever. If we stop allowing and stop assigning the whole group, which we're doing as parties right now, we're taking the extreme parts of both sides, right or left. We take those extremists that make up a micro fraction of the whole party. We look at what they're doing. We laser focus on it. Then we assign all that guilt to the whole party. Then what do? We butt heads with each other. That's all it is. It just repeats itself.
How do we do that
when the people who are supposed to be the good ones don't say anything about the wrongdoing that's being
complicit?
If you're silent about
it's not about being complicit. It's not being complicit.
Like you're complacent.
It's about finding a reason. We live in an outrage culture right now where we're constantly searching for something. It's confirmation bias. We are constantly searching for things that we can confirm how we feel. It's called reticular activating system. We think something, we find a way to make it happen. So we go searching for information that we can find confirming. And everybody gets angry. Everybody's mean. Everybody's upset with each other.
But do we think that that's by chance? Or do we think that is the great divide? Like that is the whole programming of what... America
we have
has
control
designed
that.
Us to do. It is the great divide. And
we
so
have control of
if
our
we
thoughts.
Can keep,
okay. Hold on 1 minute,
keep,
Eric.
If we can keep these conflicts going, if we can keep racist, and you know, the fight about equality going, then we're masking the real issues. We don't get to go deeper because it is the great divide that is designed to do and implement exactly what's happening.
Absolutely. Because when I'm just saying this, Arvin, when you brought up the point, I'm not saying that I do not disagree or agree, but I feel like all of those are still not of the same thing. Sharifa, that's why I said laziness, because at the same time when he was talking about those same particular actions, people fought against it. People forget why Paul, you understand this. People forget why the Jews moved to upstate New York. People forget the things that happened. People forget the things that made people segregate and separate from this United States. But back in those days, they fought. Martin Luther King wouldn't have sit there and took in the Democrats or the Republicans. They fought about it. They weren't lazy. They weren't just putting their emotions in it and complaining about it on a social media. They were actually doing something about it.
I hear what you're saying, but this is, I do not like to generalize as far as saying labels. All people are this, all people are that, and they take their money and buy Jordan. That's not all people. You have so many people who are out there right now focused on making a difference in so many different communities. They're creating businesses, entrepreneurs, talking about so many different things and having these conversations so that we can decide what to do.
I'm not saying all. I'm just putting it in a general thing because
what he's saying is we have responsibility. It's our actions. What you're saying, I agree with. We have actions. Yeah. Our actions dictate our results. Our society as a whole, which I agree with you totally, our society as a whole is looking for problems for solutions. They're not looking for solutions for problems. That's exactly the way it is. So we're not classifying whatever. It's fact-based that people right now are looking for a reason to be outraged. Doesn't matter what fact I produce. Doesn't matter what I provide as any type of benefit. It doesn't matter. That's the way we are as society.
Well, I will say this, and I'm going to speak only for myself. I'm not going to generalize for society, these people, those people, them people over there, none of that. I'm going to speak for myself. I was outraged at the fact that there was a noose brought to the Capitol. There were doors broken down that my tax dollars that I pay, you know what I'm saying? They were disrespecting the stuff that my tax dollars that I work hard to pay. They destroyed. They disrespected the members of our government. They disrespected sacred grounds that hold the patriotism and all of that. They're supposed to be sacred. They disrespected that. I'm speaking for myself.
Yes.
You know, the actual beating of police, Capitol police officers who got up that morning to do their job. They beat them with American flags. And these are the things that I saw. I'm only speaking for myself. This is where my outrage is coming from, because they did not care about those people and how they would affect them to try to push or whatever they wanted to do that day.
Then how did you feel about Portland? How'd you feel about Portland when they stormed, when they took over the police station?
Were you equally outraged when they burned down Kenosha and Portland and other cities?
Yes.
Cops were hurt.
Because there wasn't, it's okay, just because one or two cops did what they did not mean the entire, these people have families. I mean, this is what I'm saying. I'm active in my community. I love my police. I connect with the police officers. I talk to them. I talk to people who are in office. I talk to different people. There's a human side of these roles. People set down their personal lives and they go to fight for you. They go to fight for you as a citizen. These people are making a sacrifice to do
I'm going to show you something.
But what I see people do is they get outraged when the thing happens that it's an issue they care about. Exactly. But it's an issue they don't care about, like Salim and I have talked about. When it's racism, maybe younger Paul Fowles said, not my problem. And when it's Kenosha, someone says this. But then when it's Donald Trump's people, now all of a sudden media is outraged. So I'm always trying to say something. I'll be mad about those things. The other things I got no time for. So
That's very good of you, Chandra, because a lot of people aren't like that. This is kind of like life right here. This is a bell curve from what we all hated in 9th grade math or 10th grade math, right? I think I'm going to take two spectrums, right? Mm-hmm. Most of us are kind of here in the middle. Mm-hmm. You have your extreme outliers. Let's call it the extreme right wing that stormed Capitol Hill. And then let's call the extreme left wing that did Kenosha and Portland, right? And in the middle, we all have things that we can agree on. We could agree that people shouldn't be divisive. People shouldn't be, unfairly targeting, racial profiling and all those things. I think we could all agree with that. And I think what happens is that this year and this year is what gets the most noise and attention, because the old saying, empty cans make the most noise. Mm-hmm. And I think what Paul was saying over here is where most of us are. There isn't enough of a voice being organized and directed here, because if there was, guess what would happen?
It would cancel those two ends out.
Yeah, but the issue is, I think there is a voice in the middle.
I want to hear what would happen. Unfortunately,
the media, if it bleeds, it leads. So the media loves riots, the dissension, the fighting.
Yes. They love both ends.
Nobody wants to watch the middle. Nobody wants to watch us hug and get along. So as long as we have dissension, they can keep eyeballs.
Whatever moves the meter.
They sell advertising. They sell advertising. They make money. And that's the problem.
I'm pretty sure everybody.
I want to hear from Richard.
I thought we were going to go the whole show without Richard.
I did too.
No. You know what? I'm kind of more observing how's everybody doing, listening to the motion. And I agree with accountability, like what accountability are we taking and what resources are we putting out there? But at the end of the day, impeachment or not impeachment, Donald Trump still raised $1.9 billion in his business the last 3 years. So regardless, if that's impeach or not, how is that gonna fix the millions of people losing their business? How is that gonna fix all these other issues and new issues that are pending, like the housing issue where people are gonna start losing their homes? Like, how is all that gonna fix that? I'm more focused how can we help in these areas? Because I agree with it. What I'm saying, impeached or not, Trump is going to be Trump. Trump's going to do what he does. He made more money while in office than out of office. And that's the thing, that he was an entrepreneur. He was a businessman. He employed, nobody saw this, and I'm not for him or against him, but nobody saw this. Like, he employed millions of people. Before that, he has employed through his businesses. But at the end of the day, we have to take accountability. It's like, what accountability are we taking, and what resources are we just going to get heated and, make it emotion, or say, we could do this and we could do this. I love this platform and I miss being on here. I was actually just, we had this flew in, but it's definitely good to process. I agree with Ari. In the middle, there's a lot of good information, a lot of good feedback. What is this find to come down to the final root? Like, how are we going to fix all these other things? Because there's people that are really struggling. They're losing everything they got, and nobody's giving them resources.
But yet, like you said, Donald Trump is still making all his money.
I believe you talking about starting to get put out, the people who already been put out, including myself and my six kids thrown out for 1 month of rent, and wasn't nobody black, white, or purple come help us or whatever. So I am myself who don't identify as either side, because I'm going to tell it like it is, whether no matter who you are and whatever it is, it's wrongdoing on both sides. And yes, everybody does need to be held accountable. And yes, I still love the big melting pot of that. We all can learn things from each other. But if somebody's having, the thing I don't like is when somebody says something about a wrongdoing that somebody said, and somebody said, well, what about this? We ain't talking about this one right now. Learn about this one. Let's talk about this one. Don't get your question and answers on this one before you go back and try to backtrack, because that probably didn't already happen. We talking about this right here, right now. And that's part of accountability.
You know what that reminds me of? Every time I do something wrong, and I get yelled at by my wife. What do all married men do? Oh, but you did this and you did that, right? We try to deflect away.
Don't from deflect. What we're gonna still talk about it. You're not gonna get out of it.
Exactly. You know, so we can't escape it. But you know, to your point, I think at the end of the day, one thing we've learned more so over the last 4 years, if not longer, is at the end of the day, you know, the government does not necessarily look out for our best interest 24/7. You know, all we have is we got to take care of ourselves and we take care of our friends and our family. Yes, it is nice if a stimulus check does come in, but quite frankly, whether it's $600 or $2,000, it's helpful. And I'm sure, you know, people that need it would be appreciative of it, but it's more about helping others help themselves to climb up, because we don't live in a socialist country where we're going to get checks every month on a consistent basis.
Correct.
I'm grateful, unlike the financial crisis in 2008 and 9, when the banks got all the money, this time around, the money went directly to the people, which was...
Ari, that's... I get what you're saying, but it's easy to make that that talk from my new house in Florida. It's a lot different when the 600 to 2000 is the difference between whether your child has a drink today or toilet paper. Like, mm-hmm. It's easy for you and I that it's an expensive chair. I just moved to Florida. I spend more money on my mover than some people make in a month. So I could sit here and say, look, it's 2000, it's 6 grand, it's not gonna change anything. For some people, it's the difference between starvation,
yep,
a shelter. So I think, you know, I come from a position of privilege. I understand it. I just think that the issue is, and what Shelly said about, hey, when someone brings up an argument, you can't go back and say, well, what about this? We're only talking about this. But I think it just is always interesting to me that our voices get loud when the issue comes up that hits our button. But when the issue comes up that hits somebody else's button, it's not so loud anymore. Exactly. I'm not so loud. I'm going to be busy sitting in the backyard. As Celine says, you bring up anti-Semitism, my fists come up. You bring up Black Lives Matter, maybe I go sit back in the backyard and have my drink. You bring up Trump, we're ready to impeach. You bring up what Clinton did or someone else, I'm like, maybe not so important to me. So what we have to learn to do is use our voice, even if the issue doesn't immediately benefit us.
You remind me right there. You know, hey, you remind me of Martin Luther King right there. There's an old story about Martin Luther King, right?
I'll take that Martin as a compliment.
Martin Luther King had this thing called the Poor People's Campaign. This is what he went to Memphis, and that's where he got shot from, was doing the Poor People's Campaign. They were getting ready to make a march again to Washington, D.C. for reparations, right? So one of his assistants comes up to him and says, well, hey, what about the Native Americans? He says, are they poor? And he's like, yeah. He said, well, then we're fighting for them. He's like, well, what about the Mexicans? He's like, are they poor? Then we're fighting for them. Well, what about the whites? Are they poor?
Are they poor?
Okay, we're fighting for them. That's what I'm talking about. When they got together, they did it. They didn't wait for the government. They didn't wait for the news. They didn't wait for anything like that. I'm not saying lazy that you're sitting around smoking blunts and playing Xbox all day. But if you're not giving 100%, if you're giving 15%, it doesn't matter what business you own. I'm a chef, all right? I've been doing a lot of things out of my own money, right? I haven't gotten one stimulus check, no unemployment, haven't worked since October, all right? Now, when I do those things, it's because I want to do them. I would do them for my Mexican people across the street. I would do them for my Somali neighbors upstairs. I would do them for the Muslims, the Jews, the Orthodox Christians, whatever. But I'm tired, and this is what really, really bags my buttons. Is when we sit there and pick and choose who we're going to support. It doesn't matter.
Correct. If the Constitution says... I think that's powerful. I think that is so powerful. And I'm in agreement with you, Salim. Yeah. I agree with you 1,000%. I do all of this out of my own pocket. It costs me about $500 a month to do all of these shows and to put them all these podcast platforms out of my pocket. Yeah. But you know what? I think these conversations are so important. I just want to thank you all for just being guests on today's episode of Face to Face Talk Show. I truly enjoyed it. I love the new format, less moderating for me, more passion, but less moderation. So I invite all of you to come back. I hope you come back next week. Enjoy the conversation. Eric, come on. These are my guests. These are my friends. This is how we all get to, we're here every week. So if you want to join the conversation, if you're watching the show, please join us. Let's talk about it on my website at AskSharifa.com. Until next week, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, everyone have a safe and a blessed week. Bye now.
Right.
Thanks, guys.